If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. You're still on Point of View, and my name is Pimela Mutine. Now, the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into Apartheid-era Crimes, well, got off to a rocky start earlier on today. Now, this is after a couple of issues were raised by lawyers of the Department of Justice as well as the National Prosecuting Authority, the NPA, and this was in relation to the evidence leader, Advocate Ishmael Seminya. On the line with us is legal expert Mpumelelo Zikalala to help us understand exactly what happened and why the proceedings kind of started and stopped at the same time. Mpumelelo, lovely talking to you. Very good evening to you.
Good evening to you, and also good evening to your listeners.
Okay, let's go back a little bit. We have evidence leader, Advocate Ishmael Seminya, who different parties were objecting, and I'm using the word objecting deliberately here. One was objecting and one was citing that perhaps he should be recusing himself or recused. What are the issues? Let's start with the NPA.
I think from both, bit of a conflict of interest to say, are you going to be objective enough in terms of being able to bring evidence which is unbiased? Remember, as the evidence leader, you get to consult with the witnesses early. You can then, for lack of a better word, have the ability to control the narrative in terms of what will be stated there. Remember that the person who's bringing in the evidence would have had a statement or affidavit drafted much, much earlier. Mm-hmm. And the only thing in which they are doing when they're presenting it in front of the commission is to then read what is there. Any issues of clarification will then be extracted. So if there's any indication that the true essence of the evidence is not going to be extracted properly, mm-hmm. or there are instances of elements of bias that can be made to misquote through what has been stated, mm-hmm. then you're going to find certain individuals objecting and saying, we can't allow this individual to be there. But another question would be this one. The evidence leader is not someone who's identified on the day of the commission or 2 or 3 days before. Mm-hmm. Someone who has been designated, and they would have well known that this person is going to come and present evidence and be the evidence leader. Mm-hmm. Then the question would be, why don't you make your objection much
yes.
earlier so that you are able to save time?
Yes.
And not on the day of the proceedings in which we are ready to deal with it, and yet we are now told we need to get another evidence
yes.
leader. Now let's look at the wastage that has taken place. It then means whoever's going to be appointed as evidence leader now has got to go back and consult with the witnesses, draft new affidavits,
mm.
read the ones that are there mm. and present them again. Now,
mm.
there's a whole lot of time and money which goes down the drain, for lack of a better word. So it's one of those objections that ought to have been raised much, much earlier, because you know that you're going to go and present your case within the commission.
Yeah, I mean, I was struck by that as well, because I thought they didn't find this out today. And some of the issues that they're citing, let's start with the NPA, as I was saying, is this the fact that Seminya was, had advised on the NPA's prosecution policy before. This is well known. Everybody knew this was something that had happened long ago. So why are we here now? Why this consideration only now?
Mm. And if you then look at the recent judgment, which was a constitutional court judgment when dealing with the element of biasness
mm.
and the recusal of certain individuals, of course, then it was dealing with the justices. But you can almost apply the same process to this case in order to say there must be a very objective case in which we need to present to say the objectivity of the individual who's presenting the cases has been tainted. Oh, there's no credibility of what has been stated there, because a person who has a long legal fraternity experience is bound to have crossroads with any of the opponents as they are there.
Mm.
So it can't be assumed that by virtue that you've been my client or have worked against you or we were once opponents, I'm not going to find in your favor. I'm not going to make sure that I stick to my ethical
mm.
and oath that I took when I was admitted mm. as a legal practitioner and not do things diligently. So that objectivity needs to be there. And I think maybe the commission ought to have applied that approach to say, wait a minute, we're not going to listen and simply say, yes, we want to hear evidence
mm.
and then take it from there. But also, before we do that, take into cognizance what the Constitutional Court has stated. We can take that as precedent, but go ahead and state your complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's merit on those complaints, we'll then act upon it.
So can we just touch a little bit on what this prosecution policy was?
Even though I wouldn't be previous to what would have been there, but my assumption would have been in what instances are we then going to go and prosecute certain individuals? Remember,
yes, I get it.
It doesn't only limit it to those acts of crime that are happening.
Maybe
now.
A framework, right?
Yes, because at the end of the day, there are cases that were meant to be prosecuted a long time ago,
yes.
which were not prosecuted.
Yes,
and the danger in that is that the quality and the quantity of the evidence is dwindling as we move along or as we don't get to do those prosecutions.
Mm.
People, unfortunately, are going to die. Evidence is going to vanish and justice will not be found for the victims of the apartheid crimes. So you may find that you even the TRC is saying that you must go and prosecute. You may find certain cases that have come back in terms of the inquest and there are certain people that are meant to be in the dock, but they can't because the prosecution is not taking place, which is another question that must be asked to say, what is stopping you from engaging in these prosecutions? And the delay in terms of the commission, sitting and hearing what the delays are, is going to lead to further delays and further delays in terms of justice.
So the NPA's, one of its arguments is that it's unsettled by the fact that the very same policy is said to have brought about the interference in the prosecution of apartheid-era crimes. I mean, that's quite serious. And that, of course, this policy is central to the proceedings as we speak.
But in that case, the person who was part of advising it would have been a better individual in order to sit and scrutinize whether it works or not.
Yes.
So what the NPA has been, it's been called to do is to say, one of the tools that have been given to you in order to go and make and prosecute individuals, can we assess whether it works or not? So it's an opportunity to come back and say, yes, it does work or yes, it doesn't work. Now, which better person would you have? A person who has been previously well acquainted with what the policy is saying and has advised on it? Or do you want a person who is going to hear the policy for the first time? Unless if your contention by the NPA is going to be, the policy works for us and the advice that it received in the time was that the policy doesn't work. So you already know what the evidence leader is going to say. So you fear that your evidence will not be stated in a much more proper or accurate manner as the manner in which the NPA wants it to be. But the truth of the matter is, work on performance and the practicality of the whole thing.
Mm.
How many cases have been there that were political in nature or stem from the apartheid era? Very little. How many of those have been successfully prosecuted? Very little. So it means that the performance is not where it's supposed to be. So the question should be, let's not focus on the evidence leader. That's minor. Let's focus on the work in which we are meant to do. Let's focus on the tools that we have and simply ask ourselves this question. Do the tools that we have enable us in order to do those successful prosecutions? Mm. If the answer is yes, then let's continue. Or let's go to the second inquiry. So what's stopping us from engaging in this prosecution? Is it a matter of financial resources?
Mm.
Is it a matter of human capital?
Mm.
Is it a matter of which we receive cases from law enforcement agencies which have not been investigated properly, so we can't be able to come back with a conviction? That's the type of questions in which the commission should be sitting and deciding, and not whether someone should be recused or not.
Okay, so then let's talk about the objection by the Department of Justice. And they're saying, no, they are not really asking for recusal. They're just merely objecting. And they're merely objecting to the issue of the order in which, you know, witnesses will be brought forward, saying that he made a decision all by himself. What do you make of that?
But that is also the preview of the evidence leader. That's why they are called the evidence leader.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter.
Yes, yeah, I thought so, yes.
It doesn't matter the order in which the witnesses come in. At the end of the day, the commission is going to make an evaluation of all the witnesses
yes.
that are there.
Yeah.
Remember, every witness is assessed on their own individual assessment and needs. So you then say, I have witness number 20. He's going to come in stage 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that's the assessment you do. So at the end of the day, you piece all the evidence of the puzzles together, and then you are able to get a complete picture. So whether you start with number 100 or number 1 or number 5, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't take your matter anyway. Unless if there's going to be conflicting statements between the two of them, and then you can take it from there. And remember, if we were to say to every single person who participates in any commission, you are going to have the right to choose how many witnesses we bring, the order of the witnesses in which we bring them in, and the evidence leader. I can assure you that there's no commission that should be able to move.
Thank you, Pumelelo. I like that. Appreciate you giving us, you know, your take on all of this. Thank you very much. Well, I suppose we'll speak on the 26th of November.
Definitely. Thank you very much for hosting me.
Thank you very much. Legal expert Mpumelelo Zikala.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.